Cheater on the Rood with Lee Papa and Jeff Chrysler, Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Progressive Radio Network.
Good evening, world. This is Progressive Radio Network, and you have tuned in to Cheater and the Rood, our 8 p.m. Thursday show. I am Jeff Chrysler, coming to you from the luxurious studios of PRN in Manhattan. Joining me via Alexander Graham Bell machine is...
This is Lee Papa coming to you. I am down in Louisiana. I am outside a Cajun restaurant, and people are going to look at me funny as I'm walking around talking on the phone.
Are you wearing pants?
Yes, yes. Well, shorts, but, you know, they count.
I am slightly disappointed. What are you going to be eating there in that there Cajun restaurant? Love me some Cajun food. You make me salivate.
Crawfish etouffee, man, with a crawfish pie on the side. I already had a little gumbo and some boudin, and you know. I'm going to say goodbye when my food arrives.
Excellent. That's how much of us feel in America, considering how obese we are. Boom! You see what I did? Shazam! All right.
I did. How about that Chris Christie, though?
What about him? Is there some news besides him being a fat result of our...
A fat sack of shit? No, he had to go to the hospital because, believe it or not, he had breathing problems.
I think that's what happens when your soul gets squeezed by your cholesterol. And if you're...
I think they said it was asthma, which to me says it was asthma, wink, wink. He has a history of asthma problems. This is not to mock the asthmatics. No, I would not mock them. It is, however, to mock Chris Christie.
Yeah.
Why? Why do we mock Chris Christie?
That's a good question, Lee. You tell me, why do we mock this Chris Christie?
Because he's such a fat fuck. And you know why we mock him for being a fat fuck?
Why do we mock him for being a fat fuck?
We mock him for being a fat fuck because he's so vile in his policies, and he's so bullying in his treatment of the average worker, that you know what? I believe it's time for low blows when it comes to people like Chris Christie.
He won't even see your hand. He won't even see your fist punching him below because he's so fat. No.
If a bullet shot him, it would take it several minutes before it actually pierced deep enough to do damage. That, by the way, was not advocating any sort of violence.
None whatsoever. In fact, we can look at a bullet might actually clear out some of his clogged arteries if well placed.
Oh, hey, wow, thank you.
Do you think there's something symbolic in Chris Christie being a selfish, uncontrollable, fat dude, I don't want to say fuck too much here, that maybe, you know, this whole, like, unregulated, no health care, kind of just do what you want, do what feels good, America, Republicans will take care of everything, don't worry about it, and then we all end up dying from a heart attack. Do you think there's any sort of parallel there between lifestyle and policy?
Oh, I think so. I think we could also make a case that Chris Christie, who stopped a lawsuit, pulled out of a lawsuit that said something about the states regulating greenhouse gases, possibly there being some effects from the freaking air in New Jersey.
Yes, but, you know, we need that air in New Jersey. To his benefit, he prevented the building of the ARC tunnel, which would have gotten the commuters and air from New Jersey into New York. So maybe he's just thinking other people. Hey, craptastic, I just lost my train of thought, speaking of trains.
That's all right. We should talk. You want to talk about the big thing? The big thing?
I don't know. I kind of feel like I need another little appetizer. I was thinking about the big thing, and it's getting me really worked up, and my ticker is not...
Okay, you need another appetizer in case I need to bail on you?
Yeah, another appetizer. By the way, just so we know, I have put out the call. Lee is going to bail as soon as his crawfish crawl up to his table. So if you're out there listening and you want to listen, call in 888-874-4888. We will talk about whatever you want, provided you tell me your porn star name. Give me your appetizer, Lee.
So how about that representative, Joe Walsh from, where is he from? He's from Illinois, I believe.
He was the guy that was in that band, right?
No, I wish.
what did he do? What did Joe
Walsh... Well, you see, he's one of those big... He's a teabagger, and he's, in fact, one of the main teabaggers who says, ain't no how, no way are we going to, you know, raise the debt ceiling.
I can't talk
However,
about
and I know this is a way... This is probably an appetizer that plays more into your main course. He is now being accused by his ex-wife of being of not paying $17,000 in child support.
Excuse me, $117,000 in back
support.
That's what
support. I said.
Oh, we lost the one. We had some technical issues. Some of that Chris Christie artery clogging cholesterol got on the phone, and we didn't hear the 100 to start the number.
Yes, $117,000 in back taxes. And he, even though he had this debt, he still saw fit to borrow $35,000 from his campaign fund, according to this lawsuit, and take several trips to Europe, expensive trips to Europe, with his girlfriend.
You know,
even though he owed, let's not even say, it wasn't even debt, it wasn't credit card debt, it was child support.
Well, maybe he knows that his policies are going to end the world soon anyway, so the kids should just not worry about it.
So you're figuring, run up the credit cards, doesn't matter.
Not so much the run up the credit cards. I'll take the side that you were leaning towards, which is the sin of it being child support. Who cares if the kid can read or eats healthy or has shoes when this is going to be a fiery hell ball with Sarah Palin riding on the head and face of Rush Limbaugh soon enough?
Wow, that
wasn't
awesome
a sexual.
Image.
That wasn't a sexual thing with Palin. That was more of like
No. I was seeing a fire dragon Rush Limbaugh flying through the air with Sarah Palin on his back like a kid in Never Ending Story and the flying dog.
Exactly,
just cackling, running through.
Exactly. That combined with some element of the end of Doctor Strangelove, you know, when the nuclear bomb is falling out of the plane.
That's true,
woo-hoo!
Too. Rush Limbaugh then becomes the giant bomb sack.
He is a bomb, he is a flying dog, and he is all of the four horses of the apocalypse into one. And as someone who believes in women's rights, I will say Sarah Palin could easily be a horse man. It could be a horse person of the apocalypse. It doesn't have to be male.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, I think I do think that's a fun story that I didn't actually pay attention to because I'm getting sort of repulsed by the world. You know, it's a perfect example. Personal responsibility is the credo of the Republican leaders. Don't regulate it. Don't tell us what to do. We can all do it on our own. And while you're not looking, we won't do it, and we'll keep it all for ourselves. And again, it's Chris Christie's pleasure of eating over planning for the future. It's Chris Christie's let's not spend a few bucks now on a tunnel that will have economic benefits later. It's Republicans cutting education and infrastructure spending to the detriment of the future of what was maybe not the greatest country in the world, as it was always proclaimed to be the best thing ever, but a pretty darn good place. It's a little bit of, fuck you, we don't give a fuck, we're all just going to die. We don't care about tomorrow.
Well, would you then ascribe it to Christian fundamentalism taking over the Republican Party, which of course says that, you know, who gives a fuck what happens here on Earth because there'll be nothing but blowjobs and really good cocaine up in heaven?
I think I let myself indulge in that some, but that ascribes a level of ignorance and evil that I'm not yet ready to do. I don't think that that's what's gone on. I think that, like, there's been a multi-generational push for the value of self-interest and deregulation that has resulted in now a ruling generation of those that genuinely believe that their self-interest and is what's best for the world, that enacting short-sightedness, that it will trickle down, up, and over and fix everything, and the fantasy of it being this, fuck this, we're all going to, in the end, we'll be in heaven. Some people believe that, but I'm not ready to take the leap and ascribe
so
that.
So you're just saying, well then, you know, I would actually say it is just blatant evil then, because the blatancy of evil is just the benign neglect of the vast masses of people.
Yeah, well, I think that there is some truth in that, and it's what's scary is you look at it and it's not just neglect of the masses of people. Those masses of people, they are now amongst those leading. Like, look at Alan West. We were talking about him the other day. Like, he really believes in the crazy things. And Michelle Bachmann really believes in the crazy things that they espouse. Because we haven't bothered to make them have an education. I mean, I know that make them educate is the you know.
Well, we also have a media that refuses to hold them to account. That refuses to say that, hey, you know all that shit Michelle Bachmann's saying? She's actually factually wrong. There isn't a debate here about, well, she says this, but Democrats say this. The actual facts say she's wrong.
Well, this multi-generational effort has defeated science. It's defeated expertise. It's defeated facts. It's defeated logic. I saw Bill Clinton speak at the Economist convention that I did in December, and he said, we don't have a fact-based dialogue anymore. And it's so frustrating. Isn't even a strong enough word when you cannot engage in like an adult conversation. I mean, again, the big thing, this debt ceiling. There are real issues to discuss, but we're talking with little babies, and you know, I'm not ready to go on my rant yet.
if you read European papers and papers from China, as I in fact have this week, you'll see that what they're saying about debt default is even darker than what our media is telling us. Our media is just generically saying, oh, Armageddon, as if that will just automatically trigger something in us. What they're saying is, could trigger runs on the bank. It mm-hmm. will, destroy the economic base of corporations. Banks will be unable to loan money.
Mm-hmm. This is
far more specific than just the simple.
Right, it's going to be scary. You're going to pay an extra 2% on your mortgage.
That's what makes it sound like. The interest rates are going to go up. Well, fuck that. If I don't pay my bill, you know, my interest rate goes up on my credit card. So I guess that's just what will have to happen with good old America.
This is what the Republican strategy has brought home to roost. This idea that says, let's make things bad so we can blame Obama to get into power. The idea that getting into power, defeating Obama, is all that matters. I mean, this has so blatantly been the strategy for the 2.5 years he's been in office.
You know what, man?
What?
It sounds like you're ready to go sailing.
We actually have a couple callers on the line too, so I'm gonna ramble a bit, then we'll take some calls.
I'm gonna step back onto the dock. And I'm going to let you fly, man. I'm going to let you fly like a bird while I dive my fat American face into a heaping helping of crawfish.
Good. Do that. Put some butter and some cream on there and get some corn, like, slathered in that Cajun style with the spices
and all that. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to dip my balls in it and call it love.
I was actually enjoying a sort of a culinary moment, and you ruined it, much like my life. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I, Jeff Chrysler, will be alone. Please, during this music break, say goodbye to Lee Papa. Welcome back to Cheater on the Rood. I am Jeff Chrysler, author of Get Rich Cheating, and that was Lee Papa, the Rood Pundit. We have a couple callers calling in. I'm going to go on some thoughts, and we'll take those calls. If you also have some ideas, some things to say, the number is 888-874-4888. We were talking about the debt ceiling negotiations. We were talking about sort of the defeat of logic and the defeat of expertise and a long-term strategy of the right to defeat regulation, and specifically in the last few years, to defeat Obama at any cost. And what I'm feeling happening with the real threat of this default and the real worldwide view about what will happen is this is the Frankenstein monster coming home to roost. The Republicans have done an incredible job of creating a Frankenstein monster that's going to destroy us. I mean, the Frankenstein monster is this idea that there's no role for government, that there's no role for government spending, that any sort of regulation or oversight, that basically any public goods are bad. When in fact, we all know that public goods are good. I mean, they have good right in the word, right next to the public part. But that's not what they want to talk about. They want to just take power have power, use power, then blame others for the faults of their power. And look, I realize I'm being very partisan. For many, many years, I will say, you know, oh, the two parties are the same, man. They're both in bed with the moneyed interests. By the way, this is an ongoing bad accent theory, but no. I'm not going to pretend anymore that each side is equally culpable. Okay, one side of our political system, and by the way, we need a third or fourth, a triangle or a rhomboid or something. One side is incompetent and weak. The other is self-centered, short-sighted, ignorant, and enacting a domestic terrorist agenda for their own selfish ends. Victory at any cost. The ends justify the means. Winning. The Republican Party, as constituted in 2011, is the Charlie Sheen of politics. Before I get going any further, I do want to take the first call from someone who may not like the Republican Party of 2011 in August, but who I think identifies, as many, many people do, I did in my youth, with the Republican Party in general, what they were 20 years ago, maybe 5 years ago. On the line is Matt. Matt, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Jeff, and you're supposed to call me by my porn name.
Oh, well, I haven't heard what your porn name is yet. That was my first question. What is your porn name, Matt?
That would be Dr. Sweat Pants Master. Thank you.
Dr. Sweat Pants Master?
Yes, that would be my porn name.
That is good. I will call you Matt. I will call you Dr. Sweatpants. Dr. Sweatpants, what is your diagnosis for the current disease ailing our country?
Well, you know, when I was put on hold, I was first listening to you rant about, as a New Jersey resident and conservative, I nearly wanted to put my hands through the phone and strangle you, making fun of my fat governor, because, well, he likes french fries, leave him be. But besides that, compared to with everything that's going on, I can't believe I'm actually saying this, but I am a conservative that would like to strangle John Boehner as well, like pretty much the rest of the liberals in America right now, surprisingly.
Well, we don't want to strangle him. We just look at him and shake our heads sadly. I feel bad for John Boehner because of the position he's in. But
the thing is, I think it's gotten to the point where they are showing the true side of the Republican Party. But at the same time, if this world were reversed and we had a Republican president and we had a Republican Senate and the Democrats were running the House, I have a feeling we'd have a very similar type issue. We may not be exactly on this topic, but we would be seeing a similar type of action from the other side of the party. I think you said about a moment or two ago that you used to be the whole both parties suck thing. I think that's still very true. I think one side is maybe worse than the other. One is playing more politics at this point, but if the roles were reversed, you can look at history. They're all lying crooks as it is anyway.
I do agree that they are all kind of, by the nature of being a politician, you're kind of a lying crook and you want to keep power. However, I reflect back on the George Bush administration, and I know, myself included, Democrats thought he was doing a terrible job. That may be grounds for disagreement, but the point is, we, as much as we opposed it, our goal was not the destruction of the country. We didn't feel like, let's make things so bad that we have to be voted back into power. I think that there was a point where we would have the argument and try to do what we could to prove our point, and then we'd move on and say, fine, have your terrible tax cuts. Fine, have whatever it was that we might disagree with, but not this screeching halt to all business. You know, that to me is that it's like you said, one is maybe being more political. That's a tactful way of putting it.
And understand something, too. As someone who voted for Bush in 2000 and 2004, I was pissed off like crazy at him after the second time I voted for him. Most people, if you talk to on the right, that are true, smart, not nut job Tea Partiers, were actually not very happy with George W. Bush when his term was all said and done. They weren't happy with the amount of spending. They weren't happy with a lot of things. The only thing I was pretty happy with is he kept us safe. Besides that, there are many other things that just drove me absolutely up the wall with him. And I said, you are definitely not a true man of the right in any way, shape, or form. But because of him, me saying I'm a member of the right, all of a sudden I have a scarlet letter on my head and everyone thinks I like Sarah Palin, who I wish would actually just go away and go find the oil and look at Russia from her front yard. I'd be happy if she stayed up there and did that all day long.
That is sort of the problem, is that the party has been hijacked. I mean, for for all of Obama's faults that you could find on either side, from the left and the right, he hasn't allowed himself to be hijacked by the fringe left, if you will, whereas I think the Republican Party has been hijacked by the fringe right. And, you know, we could go into trying to figure out why that is, and there are understandable reasons, but that's exactly what's happened. I mean, you know, I grew up in a Republican family, and, you know, all of that managed to get me to some pretty good schools. But I was not, you know, it wasn't a fanatical Republican family. Like, I can have discussions with my parents. We disagree, but it's not, you know, this Armageddon-inducing, we must not ever do anything that seems like raising taxes. It's the negotiating ploy of being crybabies and wanting your ice cream, otherwise you're going to throw a tantrum, and now that tantrum has brought us into the middle of the road, and we're about to get hit by a truck.
And the thing is, there's still one big major elephant in the room which still won't get addressed. You can look back, and every single president, since Reagan pretty much, I mean, even before then, you can look at, depending on how it's all played out, that were raising the debt ceiling, that were constantly spending more money. Both Republicans and Democrats are both guilty, and anybody that says that's not true is an idiot and doesn't know what the heck they're talking about. The fact of the matter is that we have a spending problem in the country, and neither party right now will fix that.
This is true. Listen, Matt.
Yeah.
This is a valid discussion, I think, for another time. Perhaps we'll have you on the show. But I have, from going from zero callers to a few, we have other callers. So I want to thank you. Would you like to tell everyone once again your porn name?
Yes, I definitely would. And you can, anytime you see me on the streets of New York, please, you must call me Mr. Sweatpants Master.
All right, Mr. Sweatpants Master, thank you so much. Before we get to our next caller, could we just check in? I understand there was some happenings with this B Sky B merger that reportedly James Murdoch is now on the board, even though there was this whole News Corp thing. I think that Rupert Murdoch, James's father, has something to say about the fact that despite the whole News Corp scandal, he still is going to be getting that merger down the road because his son is on the board of B Sky B. Can we hear from Rupert Murdoch from Australia?
Well, how would I know? Shit for brains.
Right, Rupert is not a very talkative guy. Why don't we take another call? Who do we have? Do we have Barry or Mark? Let's flip a coin. Let's talk to Barry real quick. We got about 5 minutes. Barry, are you with me?
I'm with you. I didn't understand a word from Rupert Murdoch. Hey, I don't know who your last caller was, but I take issue. George Bush did not keep us safe.
Agreed.
I love when Republicans tell you George Bush kept you safe, except for that whole attack on 9/11, which was 9 months after he took office. And, of course, Barack Obama is responsible for every penny that George Bush spent from the moment that Barack Obama took office, even though Bush's tax cuts go 2 years beyond the end of his term.
Once again, using logic where it is not applicable.
Number two, irony 101, Jeff. You got a government that tells us that they're all about jobs. They want to preserve jobs. They want to create jobs. And the Republican Congress goes out of its way to defund the FAA. And today we're being told that 70,000 construction jobs and 4,000 FAA jobs now going on, and people without income. That means they don't have money in their pocket to spend. That's ironic.
Barry, I think you're misapplying irony in the sense that you're starting from baseline of what they say they want. You shouldn't use irony. You should just say the obvious lies have come and proven themselves to be lies.
Let me throw another one at you. Another little irony for you.
Break it down.
This was one of the ones. If tax cuts create jobs, then why is it after $2 trillion of tax cuts between 2001, 2003, and 2010, we're not completely filled with jobs and have people, more jobs than people?
If
tax cuts do in fact create jobs.
Because you're thinking about the wrong jobs. What about the lobbyists? What about the tax lawyers? What about the corporate executives? What about the chauffeurs? What about the mistresses, the divorce attorneys? It has created jobs. It just, not a lot of them, and very special.
I think you see my point. And here's your final irony 101.
Break it down. One more irony.
Final irony 101. If there had been a budget balance amendment to the Constitution when George Bush took office in 2001.
No war. No tax cuts. Bring it down.
I doubt he'd be able to justify those tax cuts. I'm sure they would have tried to cook the books, but at the time, we only had an annual surplus of about $170 billion. So I don't know how they could justify their $1.8 trillion with a balanced budget amendment on the books.
As I've said many times, the right is a better political party and that they just repeat lies until we believe them. Liberal media, activist judges, democratic leadership, tax cuts create jobs. You know, deficits don't matter until they do. Barry, you've nailed some ironies on the head. Barry, I don't know if you heard, but we were asking everyone for a porn star name. Don't be bigger than it. Tell me your porn star name.
Misty Longview.
Thank you, Misty Longview. We've got to go. We've only got a few minutes left. Barry, do you have anything you want to tell the people about yourself? You have any?
Once you tell them your porn name and it starts with Misty, I think that's all they need to know.
Thank you, Misty. That was so we had what a Misty Long stalking and I forget what Matt's porn star name was. Do you remember what it was, Greg?
Sweatpants, something.
Something about sweatpants. Greg, by the way, is filling in, or maybe he's our new permanent techie guy. Listen out there, I think Mark is still online. Mark, do me a favor. We're not going to have time for you this evening, but I appreciate you calling in. Will you please call back next week at 8? You can also go make a comment on our Facebook page if you go to Facebook and search Cheater and the Root. I apologize for not getting to you. We went from 0 to 3 calls. This is an infinite percentage increase. There's a lot going on in the world. There's a lot happening in the States. There's a lot happening in my brain and in my heart and in my mind. And I am finding this particular debt ceiling issue to tear at me because as a political commentator, comedian, satirist, I vacillated between trying to want to be this torch-bearing, active, storm the gates, light up the windmills on fire, and just sort of sitting back and enjoying the absurd circus that is this human race. And this has really kind of gotten me sick of it, you know? I understand the political reasons for the extreme right to take their positions because the Democrats have caved over and over again. We now have a Democratic president that is labeled far left liberal, but in actuality it might be slightly more right than the right hero, Ronald Reagan. I understand the reasons for it, but this is just gone too far. I mean, I ask the people on the right that are taking this stance, that are leading us to the brink of default, that are leading us to the brink of having a country that is, as they've always complained, no longer the best in the world, or no longer a leader in the world, if not the leader. What are you going to do? You know, we're all going to die someday. You know, we're all going to sit on our deathbeds. We're all going to be on the radio one night before tomorrow we get hit by a truck and have it all end. And we're all going to have to ask ourselves at that moment when the light starts to dim, what have we done with our lives? What message have I sent to the world, to the next generation, to the universe? And if that message is, I did everything in my power to further the interests that I was told to further and that I thought would help me and my people, then fuck and or you. I don't like to be dirty. That's usually what the Root Pundit does. But you have wasted your life. You have wasted a precious gift, a thing given to us by the Creator that was meant to further the beauty that is the universe. You are selfish, you are short-sighted, and you make me not even want to try to find a joke at the end of this. How long are we in this country going to put up with this game? How long are we going to let the adults continue to coddle the tantrum kids, the temper tantrums? You know, like, the Democrats are the Park Slope, weak-willed stroller mafia that is, you know, giving in forever to the selfish toddlers on the right. And it is upsetting. Oh, can I have a lollipop? No. Sure. What about cake for dinner? No. Okay, fine, but stop crying. Can I have some heroin? No. Now the baby has taken us to the middle of Atlantic Avenue, and there are trucks ramming down on us, and they don't care because they can afford private health care. They can afford reconstructive surgery, and we can only afford to be on Progressive Radio Network. Every Thursday, 8 p.m., Cheater and the Rude, right here on Progressive Radio Network. You got feedback, go to Facebook, search Cheater and the Rude. Go to our Twitters, at Jeff Chrysler, at Rude Pundit. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week. This is Cheater and the Rude on Progressive Radio Network.